before we all become very tired. If everybody doesn't know what I'm referencing, the fair starts tomorrow. Some of us are already tired. We have spent a bunch of time in there this week already. But it is the start of a good week, and thankfully, it looks like the weather is going to be cooperative. So it's going to be cooler and not so rainy, which will be a good start to this week. If you haven't already, I think is the sheet still back there to sign up for the fair? So if you haven't already, please sign up. We can use every hour that you can give. It will be a busy week, and there will be a lot to do. There's things to do at the fair. There are things to do here at the Family Life Center to get things ready for the fair. So if you have any time or any ability to be able to help in whatever capacity, please sign up, see Amy, see Roxanne. There's multiple people you can get with to see what is needed. So we thank you for before this week starts, and keep us in prayer as we get through the week. We will now be blessed with, I think Leandra and Logan are coming to share about their CBC mission.
Okay, you can hear me? All right, here's the question. Can you see me better up here? Can everyone see me?
Yeah.
Okay. So we went to Guatemala, and it was a fantastic trip, right? And I wanted to learn a presentation for the kids. So as most of you know, I do illusions. So I learned one of my favorite illusions in Spanish, and I got to do it for an entire classroom, right? So when they were asking, so what do you want to do for the church, for your presentation? I'm like, let's do the thing I did for the kids in Guatemala. So that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it in Spanish. So that way, don't know if I messed up or not. I will translate it. If everyone knows that Sari's bilingual, so she'll know.
Absolutely, after this weekend.
See, exactly. Okay. Hola. Buenos dias. Me llamo Logan, y hoy quiero compartir una historia con ustedes. Hello, my name is Logan, and today I want to share a story with you. Se trata de mí y de ti. It's about me and you. Esta bufanda nos representa. This scarf represents us. Okay? Esta bufanda representa a Dios. And this scarf represents God. Right? Nosotros y Dios estamos unidos así. Us and God are tied together like this. Bien. Y pasamos por la vida así. And we pass through life like this. Okay? Esta bolsa representa la vida. This bag represents life. Right? Y nosotros y Dios pasamos la vida unidos. Us and God pass through life tied together. Okay? Y todo está bien. And all is well. Tú tienes Dios. You have God. Tengo Dios. I have God. Todo está bien. All is well. But. Sel el paso del tiempo, el pecado se abrió camino. But as time went on, sin gets in the way. Which is the Spanish, is the English version of saying Spanish gets in the way. But the Spanish translation literally says that sin enters the path, which I always loved it, because it doesn't get in the way sometimes. Sometimes it's chosen. So I always loved that. Se tomaron malas decisiones. Bad decisions were made. Dijiste una mentira. Maybe you told a lie. O hablo mal de alguien. Maybe you talked bad about someone. Tal vez dijiste una maldición. Maybe you said a bad word. Pero solo uno. Eso es todo. No problema. But only one. That's okay. No problem. ¿Sí? ¿Correcto? No. Incorrecto. Right? Just one. No. That's one's more than enough. One's too much. El pecado separa de Dios. Sin separates us from God. Aquí estamos. Here we are. Aquí está Dios. And here's God. Y aquí todos están nuestras malas decisiones. And here are all our bad decisions. No podemos atados estar a Dios. We can't be tied to God. No ahora. Not now. ¿Podemos? Can we? No. Lo ponemos entre nosotros. We put sin between us. And in Spanish, it's we took sin. So we chose it. Esto es malo. This is bad. Esto es muy, muy malo. This is very, very bad. Pero todos hemos estado separados de Dios antes. But everyone has been separated from God before. Antes, I have. Tú tienes. You have. Todos. Everybody. Everybody has. Pero nosotros arreglarlo. But we can fix it. Sin embargo, si pedimos de corazón, if we ask for forgiveness and mean it, Dios nos perdonará. God will forgive us. Entonces, y solo entonces, podrás estar verdaderamente unido a Dios. Then and only then, with God's true forgiveness and us truly meaning it, will we ever truly be forgiven. God. I want to say thank you to the church for helping us get to Guatemala. We did a lot of amazing things, and I just want to say thank you from Leandra and me. And Leandra has made some baby Jesuses that are from Guatemala. So if you would like to get one, each of you can have one. They're back in the back of the church before you leave. Okay? Thank you.
If you would like to turn with me in your Bibles, I will be reading from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. And the title of this is The Cost of Being a Disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. May God bless the reading of his word, and we will now have our morning message with Pastor Galen.
Logan and Leandra had a wonderful time as they went with the CBC to Guatemala. There was a presentation at conference about that trip, as well as a couple other trips, one to Kentucky by the CBC and another trip to Puerto Rico, all to talk about Jesus and to share Jesus and to do the work of the Lord in those areas. You will notice this morning there is a write-up in your bulletins telling more about that trip to Guatemala from Logan and Leandra. There are a couple blanks in there. I want you to understand those. The school's name we didn't have at the time, but the school's name is found in some of the pictures that we have. It's difficult to pronounce. It's in Spanish, but there was a school that they worked with there, and also more than one church there that they did some work out in the community with those churches. The main church is a place called Miracle Fishing CBC Church. It's pronounced fishing, but it's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. And it is the central church in Guatemala. It's a CBC church. There's a project that's going on there where you can give money toward the tiles for that church. They, in that church, don't take out loans, typically. They wait till the money comes in. And so churches have been supporting this CBC church by sending in money so that they can do the floor of this church. And then they have been called by God. They feel called to be a worship center where they will reach out to other churches and be a headquarters for the work of the CBC in Guatemala. So I want to encourage you to find out more if you feel led, and you can give money to support this project that is continuing to go on in Miracle Fishing Church in Guatemala. And Logan has already expressed this, but Leandra loves to do art, and she has made some Guatemalan baby Jesuses. And so we want to make sure you get a magnet before you leave today, as Logan has already mentioned. Please do that on your way out. As you look at some pictures, there are pictures back there and other items from Guatemala. The final part of our vision at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church is this, and I would like to put the words on the screen. This is the final part of our vision here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, and that is we are called by God to develop disciples. And what I want us to think today about is, what are disciples of Jesus? What does it mean to make a disciple? And a disciple is a faithful follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. And that's what God calls us to be. He calls us to be faithful followers, not just converts. But he calls us to a way of life of following him. Someone has asked the question, how do you make a disciple? Well, you don't make a disciple, doesn't just happen instantly. You can't just stand somewhere and become a disciple. Someone has said, just because you sit in the garage, that does not make you a car. Amen? Just because you sit in the oven, that doesn't turn you into a biscuit, right? And it's the same way with discipleship. We don't become a disciple just by being alive. We become a disciple to Jesus Christ and then choosing to follow him in our everyday lives. That's what a disciple is. It's a faithful follower of Jesus. But I want us to think today about the choice that we have, that we can be a fair weather fan of Jesus, or we can be a faithful follower that he calls us to be. And I want us to think this morning about some fair weather fans. I have been a fan of Kentucky basketball for many years. No, I'm not a fan of Penn State, no offense. I don't love the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't love the Philadelphia Phillies, and we're not going to go or say anything about Baltimore Orioles today. I have been a faithful fan of Kentucky basketball for several years, to the point that I go crazy at times when I watch a game. I will jump around, bounce around. I don't throw things or tear my shirt, but I am a faithful follower. But I have seen some fans who are fair weather. They're Kentucky fans, but I consider them fair weather fans. Because I have watched some Kentucky basketball games where my team starts losing and our own fans leave the building. They don't stay there and support their own fans because their fans are losing, so they take off. And if they find out that their team is losing, they will head to the exit before the game is over. Not me. If I get there to the building, I'm so excited to be in a place like Rupp Arena where Kentucky basketball is played, I will stay till the very last shot, even if we are losing. But I have watched Kentucky basketball games where my team started losing and my own fans, our own fans, booed their team. Have you seen that? Where your own team starts to lose and you're so upset, you start booing your own team. And I think in my head, those aren't followers. Those are a bunch of fans who, when they don't win, when they don't get what they want, they decide to leave the building and boo for their own team. Brothers and sisters, we can be fair weather fans of Jesus. We can pray to the Lord, and when we pray to the Lord, we pray according to our will. We don't pray according to God's will. We pray according to what we want when we want it. And if we don't get what we want, if we don't get what we ask for in prayer, if God says no, or if God says wait, we are ready to abandon our faith because we don't get what we want when we want it. And we pray according to our will, not according to God's will. And we are what is called a fair weather fan of Jesus. If we only serve Jesus because he gives us what we want when we want it. If we're a fair weather fan of Jesus, we will say to Jesus, Jesus, I will serve you only if I get the job promotion. I will serve you, Jesus, only if I get the raise at work. And if I don't get the job promotion and if I don't get the raise at work, I will abandon my faith in Jesus. You see, we can operate that way where we are fair weather fans. That if Jesus doesn't give us what we want when we want it, we're out of here. We're ready to abandon our faith. If Jesus doesn't give us that job promotion or that raise at work when we pray for it, we are ready to abandon our faith because we don't want to serve this kind of Jesus. That's a fair weather fan of Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, we are called to be more than fair weather fans of Jesus. We are called to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says that's what a disciple is called to be. A disciple is called to be a faithful follower. So here's what I want us to see today. I want us to think about what faithful followers do. And here's what faithful followers of Jesus do. They put Jesus above everything else in their lives, even above their family relationships. I want us to look at the words of Jesus himself that Tom read for us this morning in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 14. In verse 26, Jesus says these words. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciples. Let's go back. that if anyone comes to me and does not hate, I want us to understand what that word, that word hate means that we love a lot less. Jesus is saying, if anyone comes to me and does not love a lot less their father, their mother, their wife, their children, their brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Here's what Jesus means, that if we are faithful followers, we will place him above our family. He will be first place above our family relationships, and if we're faithful followers, we will place Jesus above our very lives. That's what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus, is to put him above our family relationship. It's to put him above everything else in our lives. I have heard of situations in some Muslim families that if the children in those Muslim families receive Jesus as their Savior, they are rejected by their families. They are rejected by their parents because they have received Jesus as their Savior. They are disinherited by some. They are rejected by their families. And that's the cost that they pay for following Jesus. Because if we are a faithful follower, we will place Jesus above our families, above everything else in our lives. Listen to me today. We may not be rejected by our family as some people are for following Jesus. But following Jesus can cause conflict in our families. My mother died several years ago. And my mother was a member of the Church of Christ. And my mom believed in the teachings of the Church of Christ, that she believed that baptism was necessary for salvation. That she believed that, yes, you ask Christ into your heart, but you're not really saved until you go under the water. And when you go under the water, after you receive Jesus Christ, then you are saved. That's what my mother believed. But according to God's word, baptism does not save us. According to God's word, baptism shows that we are saved, that we've received Christ as our Savior, but baptism is not necessary for salvation. Amen? It is an outward sign of an inward commitment that we've made to God, but it's not necessary for us to be saved. But that's what my mom believed. She believed in something that was not according to God's word. And so my mom wasn't happy with me. She knew I was a pastor. She knew what I taught and believed. But she wasn't happy with me because I didn't believe what she believed. But listen to me today. I would rather stand for God's truth than make my mom happy. And that's what I had to come to. That I would rather stand for God's truth and his word than make my mother happy. And you see, that is my cost for being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what I pay for being a disciple of Christ. If it makes my mom mad, so be it. Because I would rather follow Jesus than make my family happy. Amen? And God calls that for all of us. He wants us to be a faithful follower of him. He wants us to put Jesus before our family relationships and above everything else in our lives. Let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Are we willing to follow Jesus even when it makes our family mad? Are we willing to follow Jesus even if people are upset with our decisions because we've decided to follow Christ? Will we put Jesus above everything else in our lives? Will we make him first? Because God says that's what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Here's what else faithful followers do. Faithful followers will carry the cross of Jesus, and they will follow Jesus wherever he leads. So if you're a faithful follower of Jesus, you will carry your cross. You'll carry the cross of Christ, and you'll follow Jesus wherever he leads. In Luke 14, verse 27, here's what Jesus says. He says that anyone who does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his or her cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And here's what Jesus means. Jesus means we die to ourselves more and more each day so that we can follow Jesus more and more. That's what it means to carry our cross. It means that we die to ourselves daily. We continue to die more and more so that we can follow Jesus more and more wherever he leads us. Here's what that looks like. When we think we're better than somebody else, when we think we are better than our neighbor, we say to the Lord, Lord, help me die to my pride. And when we say that, we're taking up our cross, we're following Jesus. Because we're dying to ourselves, and we're saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to live for you. Help me die to my pride if I think I'm better than somebody else. And help me recognize my place, that I'm no better than anyone else, that I'm loved by the Lord, but I'm no better than my neighbor. Help me die to my pride. When we're tempted to hurt somebody with our words, and there are times we may be tempted to do that as someone is mean to us and says words that aren't good to us, we, if we die to ourselves, will say to the Lord, Lord, help me die to saying hurtful words. Help me die to this heart that wants to hurt someone else. And that's what it means to faithfully follow Jesus, to take up our cross. Because we're dying to what our desires and what we want, and we're living more for Jesus and what he wants. When somebody hurts us and we're tempted to seek revenge, God calls us instead to forgive that person and to have a forgiving heart instead of a heart that's filled with revenge. That's what it means to be a faithful follower of Christ. It means to carry our cross, to die to ourselves daily, and to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. If we're going to be a faithful follower of Jesus, we're called to take up our cross and die to ourselves and follow Jesus. I want to leave you with a couple questions. And the first question is this: are you a fair weather fan of Jesus? And that's something for you to ask yourself personally. We're not going to answer that out loud. It's a question to take with you when you leave today. Do you follow Jesus only when you get what you want? Do you follow Jesus only when he answers the prayers that you have prayed in the way that you want them answered? Are you a fair-weathered fan of Jesus? Do you say to Jesus, I'll follow you, Jesus, as long as you don't ask me to do anything that is uncomfortable? Do you say to Jesus, I'll follow you, Jesus, as long as I get what I want? That's a fair weather fan. Well, here's the other question I want to leave with you today for you to ask yourself. Are you a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to put Jesus above every family relationship? Are you willing to go where Jesus wants you to go as he directs you in his word? Are you willing to follow what he says in his holy word above every other voice around you? Are you willing to put Jesus above everything? Are you willing to die to yourself more and more every day so that you can live more and more for Jesus? Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be more than a fair weather fan. God wants us to be disciples, and a disciple is a faithful follower of Jesus. Let's go from this place today, and let's always be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people together said, amen. We're going to follow Jesus to his cross today. And we're going to stand in that place in our hearts where we look at that old rugged cross. We're going to stand in that place where we are in our hearts where Jesus gave up everything for us on that cross. And I want to invite you today to focus on that cross and remember that sacrifice, that great sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Will you join me today in a time of prayer? Almighty God, we come today to the cross of Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we focus on that cross of Christ, you will remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every person as he died for our sins. Today we come to this communion table. And as we come, Father, I pray that if we have sinned against you this week, I pray, Father, that you would forgive each one of us. If we have done something we shouldn't have done this week or said something we shouldn't have said, God, forgive us. If we have not done what you want us to do, Father, forgive us today. And may the precious blood of Jesus Christ flow right now from that cross and cleanse us from our sins. Father, I pray that we right now we would have open hearts so that we can receive this spiritual nourishment that comes from this communion table today. Be with us. And work in a mighty way as we take the bread and the cup together. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the one who gave his body and his blood on that cross for us, that we pray. And together all of God's people said, amen. Every single one of us who are in love and in fellowship in the family of God, every single one of us who do truly and earnestly repent of our sins, every one of us who humbly put our trust in Christ, and every one of us who desire his help that we might walk in newness of life, are invited right now to draw near to God and receive this holy communion to our comfort through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Luke tells us that Jesus himself took a loaf of bread. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke that loaf of bread and he gave it to them and he said these words, "For this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you please join me right now in a prayer of blessing for our bread? Dear Lord, we ask your blessing today on this bread, which to us represents your broken body on that cross. We thank you today, God, for the body of Jesus Christ, that body that was broken for our sins. And Father, I pray today that as we eat this bread, that you would renew our faith in you, that you would help us to be stronger Christians after being here at your table. I ask your blessing on this bread today, and it's in the name of Jesus that we ask this prayer, the one whose body was broken for us. It's in his name that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. I would now like to invite the deacons if they would come to help serve the bread. And we want to ask all of you to please hold your bread until everyone has been served, and then we will share together in our affirmation of faith. As we eat this bread together, may we affirm our faith in the words first spoken by Christians many years ago. I'm going to say these words, and then if you would, please repeat after me of the bread together. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body. We are told that Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. For do this as often as you drink it and will hold, in remembrance of me, will hold just a minute. If we can hold just a minute, we are reminded, for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you join me in a prayer of blessing for the cup? Dear Lord, we ask your blessing on this cup, which to us represents the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, today we thank you for this blood that was shed for each and every one of our sins. We thank you for that blood that was poured out for us on the cross. And Father, I pray that as we drink this cup today, that you would renew our faith. Draw us closer to you as we drink this cup. It's in the name of Jesus, the one whose blood was poured out for us, that we offer this prayer. And together all of God's people said, if you would please join me in a prayer of thanksgiving for our time together spent at the Lord's table. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you for the spiritual renewal that we have received today at your communion table. And Father, I pray that we would use the strength that we have received at your table to be faithful followers of you. And Father, I pray that you would help us to die more to ourselves every day so that we can live more and more for you. Help us make you the most important thing in our lives. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray, the one who gives us the strength, the one who helps us be those faithful followers. It's in his name we pray. And together all of God's people say. We're going to sing a beautiful song now to close our service. It's called Where He Leads Me. But I want Denny, if you would, to put that cross back on the screen. I'm throwing you a ball, Denny. And that we didn't talk about beforehand, but I love that cross that was right up there. Can you put it back? If you can't, I'm not going to get angry. But I would love to see that cross on the screen. Can you make it happen? And here's why. Because we're getting ready to offer people something this week. And it's greater than hoagies. And I just said it from this pulpit. Some people say, well, it's fair week. We're going to sell hoagies. You're doing so much more than selling hoagies. Because we are people of the cross. Amen? And we have a message. You say, Pastor, I'm selling hoagies. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have something greater than a hoagie. You have the cross within you. Amen? And there may be somebody this week at the fair stand who says, I don't know Jesus is my Savior. There may be somebody at the fair stand that says, why are you selling hoagies and it's hot, but you are so calm? Why do you live differently than other people? And we may have an opportunity to share Jesus at the fair stand because, trust me, it's greater than a hoagie. And that's what we should be about. Amen? So if you begin to think, well, all I'm doing is selling hoagies for the church, I want to remind you that you're a person of the cross. And I want to remind you that there may be somebody thirsting and hungry for Jesus at that fair stand. It's greater than thirsty for a drink and a hoagie. And we have an opportunity this week to share Jesus. So if you're going to the fair stand, you are a minister and you have the cross to take with you. Amen? And I want to encourage you to be ready, as we talked about last week, to be ready to plant that seed. Be ready to share that story.